Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Maggie Parker, a play therapist and a professor in Virginia. So today, let's talk about what play therapy is, because I think, I don't know if this has been your experience, but when you talk to people who don't really know, they're like, so what, you just play with kids all day?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And I really don't believe people are meaning to minimize what we do. I just don't think people understand why play is so important to children and can be a really useful tool for their healing.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting too, just I think it's a reflection of how we view kids in society and what play in general, I think, is often seen as kind of frivolous or not important, or that's just what you do and, you know, for fun. And I know that a lot of organizations, the Medical Association, American Medical Association, and the American Pediatric Association, and even the United Nations highlighted the importance of play for kids. And it seems still like there's a disconnect between those two things. So how do you describe, like when someone asks you, what exactly do you do as a play therapist? How do you respond?
I often say play therapy is just like adult counseling, but for kids, that we use their most natural way of talking and communicating with us, which is play. Children feel much more comfortable playing than having conversations. Through play, kids are able to communicate with us. They're able to share their world, their experiences in a safe environment. And I can share back my understanding so that they have greater understanding, just like we do in talk therapy. That's really what we're doing. Play therapy is also well-researched, and it has a lot of evidence support to show that it is effective with kids. And I often share that with people as well, that it is an evidence-based model that's often misunderstood, and that I always open it for questions for individuals to ask me more about it, so that, and I try to stay really open and not get offended when they ask questions about everyday components of play therapy.
Yeah. Well, I think there's been such a push for, you know, what quote unquote evidence-based. And so I think we as play therapists and researchers who are adding to that evidence base, we know what that is, right? And I think when you're talking with people, what they want to know is that, does it work?
Yeah. You know,
like, is this going to be helpful? And I think it's hard too, because a lot of times what we identify and understand as evidence based is really like what insurance will pay for. And yes, this does work. We've seen it work anecdotally. We've seen the research that says that it works.
Yeah.
And you do get paid by insurance. So there is that. For those of you who are thinking about coming into this field, you can get reimbursed. And sometimes it does take longer than other approaches, because it's so allowing the child to, I think, process their experiences in their way. And so I think when I talk about play therapy and what play therapy is, there's, you know, the quote, and to be fair, I don't even know if this is in a book, but we say it all the time, of toys are their words and play is their language. So kids learn through play, and often relational play, and they learn all sorts of things about themselves, about the world, whether it's a little baby putting their feet in their mouth and discovering that they have a body, or throwing, you know, food on the floor, that they are autonomous and able to make things disappear onto the floor. But that it's like what play therapy does is take that natural way in which children interact and then allows the therapist to see the way in which they're communicating from their level, mm-hmm. as opposed to asking them to talk to me because that's how I feel comfortable. And I think that's a big component of it, is like meeting them where they are.
Yeah. And I was also going to say, Maggie, as you were sharing that, you know, for many children, they're denied their experience a lot by adults. Like, you don't feel this way. That's not how this happened. And so sometimes I think play therapy takes longer because children just assume adults won't believe them. And so it takes a while to build the trust in the relationship in us that, as play therapists, that we really do believe them, and what they share is factual from their perception. It's how they're viewing the world. And that's what we have to remember. As adults, sometimes we view experiences very different. But for kids, as they're internalizing it, they're not used to adults saying, yes, this is true. Yes, I believe you. And so I think that also indicates why it takes longer for kids in therapy, is because they really have to experience that we trust them, that we respect their perception, and it's safe in here to be able to really share, right, that our most authentic, our most real self, to be able to work through some of the stuff, the challenges that kids have in the
And
world.
I think that's true for adult therapy too, right? It's if you're gonna go and if I'm gonna go and just be like, I wanna stop something concrete, that doesn't take as long as if I wanna delve into what is going on with me and really explore it, because you have to trust the person to actually tell them the truth about what's going on, because there are pieces of ourselves that are scary or that we're afraid that people won't believe us,
Really
or
hard to be vulnerable.
it's so hard to be vulnerable. And then you've got children who, I think adults have a hard time when you say, like, how are you feeling right there now? They don't know. And so you have kids who are born with all of these emotions and no way of knowing what they are or how to express them. And so they, to say to a child that's tantruming, how are you feeling right now? They don't know. They just know that it feels icky, and they're trying to let us know that it feels icky. And so I think that's what, how like I try to explain it to make it make sense for adults. If you don't know why you are, honking your horn and yelling at the person, you just know that you're doing it. How do we expect a child who has just entered into this world why they are having a tantrum because they wanted their chicken nuggets cut in stars and not in dinosaurs? It's very important at that moment for them.
Well, it's a whole experience, right? Like stars taste different than dinosaurs.
Absolutely, they do.
Even the same grilled cheese sandwich that we were cutting it out from, for them, that's really important. It's like, should I put mayo or ketchup on my hamburger, right? It's a totally different experience. We just have to remember from their perception. That's, yeah, I know I say a lot, both with my students and with parents and people who are asking about what I do. Is that we often conceptualize the world from all of the experience we have. And for many of us, we've been on this earth a long time, right? If we think in days and weeks or hours, we've been here a long time. When I'm working with a 4-year-old, I have to remember, it sounds silly, but they're newer. They don't have as many experiences. And so for right now, stars are more important than dinosaurs. And why does it matter if I use a star cookie cutter or a dinosaur cookie cutter? Now, if I don't have one, that's okay to share. Like, oh, I'd love dinosaur sandwiches too, right? We just don't have a dinosaur maker today, right? But I do have a star maker. You could choose stars, or I could cut it in squares. And just giving them a sense of making a small decision that doesn't have as big of a ramification as one that will later in life is helpful to give our kids early on.
But I think that's a big part of it too, of what play therapy is just how you're saying, is allowing them choice and autonomy, because kids don't have a lot of autonomy. They have to go where their parents tell them or their caregivers tell them to go. They have to do what their teachers tell them to do. Even when they're playing, I think we often interrupt because we of our own fears, like, don't go too high, don't do this, slow down. So they never really have the opportunity of just exploring. And so I think that in play therapy, we allow them that opportunity and show them that we trust them and that really they're allowed, they're capable of doing what they want in those moments, which is incredibly freeing. It's really kind of a way to let them express themselves in the way that feels natural and that we trust them and that we're not going to try and tell them no or tell them they're wrong or don't do that. We're gonna be there with them as they do it.
And I think it's a lot about like seeing the whole child, not just whatever the presenting problem or concern or current behavior is. I always think what's happening, there's a reason for what's happening, and how do I help find the reason? How do I look deeper into maybe this child's experiences, their perceptions, so that then I can really meet them where they're at, share, give some highlights, and then also help the caregivers in their lives understand maybe why a child is having such a difficult time or having such big feelings in this moment. And just talking with someone about just that, right? Like, how, what do we think is really going on in this moment? And then how do we support this child through this moment? Like, what do they need the most right now?
When I think we're taking in, when we're in the room with a child, we're taking in, there's so many things that are kind of coming into awareness, right? You're wanting to focus on the child and what they're expressing, seeing them for all of their experiences, holding the knowledge that we have about child development, the knowledge that we have about play therapy, and knowledge about their own family circumstances or their experiences. And all of those things come together when we then respond to them. And in a way that really is trying to understand them and see them for who they are and their complex selves, because it's not simple. It's a, I think play therapy for me is actually harder because I have to focus so hard to stay present. I'm naturally very ADHD, and it's easy for me to like pick my fingers or something silly and not super distracting with an adult, but with a child, that takes me completely away from the moment, especially if they're not verbalizing what they're doing. It's not a conversation necessarily back and forth. And so you have to work really hard to try and understand and be present with them.
I remember someone early on in my career saying we're listening with our eyes and ears, and like what you just shared about, like, getting focused on something else then limits that I'm either only listening or I'm only watching. But it's really the combination of both of those things to be fully present with the child in that moment. And so it does, it's taxing. And it's tiring because you're so present in the moment. And the other thing is, sometimes I have to take off my adult brain and put on my kid brain to understand, right? It's easier for me sometimes to think abstractly than it is for me to think more concretely, more developmentally. Like, I remember initially I had to work really hard at that, right? I can't use big words with little kids. I had to use little words with little kids, and I have to match what type of words do I need to use with this kid, right? And so it is really, I don't change myself, but I have to just remind myself to be on the child's level. And that's making my responses developmentally responsive, understanding it from a developmental, like from a 3-year-old to an 8-year-old. And that's, I think that's one of the joys of play therapy. Is every time a kid comes in, we're slightly adapting how we're going to respond. We're trying to get in the moment with the child. So for each kid, it's going to be totally different. And like really keep our hearts open each time a kid comes in so that we can really hear and understand and care about what they're sharing.
And I think that is something, that makes us different than other people who work with kids. I think that it's completely possible to use the skills that we use and approach children in that way. And we have 45 minutes each week with a child usually. And so it's easier, I think, than even as a parent, it's hard for me sometimes to stay in the moment or to not have preconceived notions because you have such a different type of relationship. And so within the play space, it's much easier. You have one child to focus on. You are present. You have them for 45 minutes, and you're letting them show you who they are and kind of watching that progression. And so it is different.
But we also don't have all of the other,
Responsibilities.
well, responsibilities and like interactions with that kid. I think parenting is really challenging, and I think parents are often judged by so many people, unfortunately, right? Because I feel like most parents are doing the best they can. I know this is off on a tangent a little bit, but I do think it's hard. So as a play therapist, we get the opportunity, right? Not to have all those other experiences, not to have all of the frustrations from the day, both from my job and, you know, from like home life and then also child rearing. That's not, I get to come in kind of fresh. I didn't birth this child, so I don't have all of these like components. I really get to meet them with fresh eyes, fresh experience, which I think is also a really challenging part to play therapy is to, in particular, child-centered play therapy is to come in like today is a new day and what can I discover and not bring in things that have happened in previous sessions and, you know, like have expectations for this kid because this is how this kid normally plays in my room or with me or in our relationship and really like come in with like, okay, what is today going to be like? Where are we going? You know, like just the excitement of coming in each time and that is challenging because we don't forget the things, right? We know what they've done in the past. But again, like I said earlier, a week is a long time to a child. This is 7 more days in their lifetime that they lived, or 14 days if they didn't make it last week because they were sick or whatever, right? And so they have all these brand new experiences, and all of those experiences can help them grow and change. And I need to enter each time, like maybe they've grown, maybe they've changed a little bit. I won't know until I get to meet them this week.
Yeah. It's really special to be able to connect with kids in that way. It feels really unique and like a privilege to be able to be a part of a child's life in that space. And sometimes I think as a play therapist, and I think this is true for all people who work with children, but when they're done, when you terminate sessions and they don't come see you anymore, I'm like, oh, what's happening? Are they, what's going on in their lives? And you don't get to see that as much. It's not like they're coming back to see their second grade teacher after they've graduated high school. And it's hard, but it's also really beautiful.
I have a story I can share about that. I was working with a tween and helping them. And then, you know, they finished services and left. And they always are on your mind. You always think, I wonder how they're doing. And I don't know. I guess it was like about 8 years later because they were now, I saw them shopping. I didn't see them. They saw me. Like, I don't know that I would have recognized them just on my own. But they saw me and I heard my name being yelled across this large department store, right? Calling my name. And I'm like, what the heck is going on?
What?
Because we just don't often think of seeing our clients out in public, even though it happens. Many of us practice in the communities that we live, and but it is rare that we see them. I was a little bit in shock to see this person in public. And then I'm also a counselor, right? So I have to maintain confidentiality. I have to. So they initiated it and, you know, trying to keep it very surfacey and all that stuff. And this, who was a, you know, a tween, called her mom to come meet us at the store and like say hi and like all these just different things. I think we have more impact than we know. And because our relationships are so different, it's not something we can check in on them. But it is very heartwarming that we do have an important spot. And that is something that this young adult shared, right? Like that I entered their life at a time that was really challenging and had a big impact. And she would say things like, I sometimes think about when you would say this or like this happened. And that reminds me even today when times get tough, like I just need to breathe through things or do different things, which is not something I tell kids, but they experience in relationship with us. And so it was just, I recall that a lot because I need to remind myself sometimes, like, I don't always know the impact I'm making right now. And right now is really tough. And I'm hoping kids are kind of learning. And sometimes that's obvious and sometimes it's not. And so, and for this kid, it wasn't always obvious. And so it was really cool. It was a really cool experience to kind of have that. It also makes me feel old, but that's okay.
No, but it's so neat. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's we say a lot, or we heard a lot when we were in graduate school learning about play therapy. And I know I tell my students, I know you tell your students, I don't think it's unique to play therapy, but to trust the process. And there's so much of it that you have to just trust in your training and your ability to engage in a relationship, and that this is making an impact. And that's not to say that you don't get supervision and you don't work on yourself to make sure that you can be more effective. It's not like I'm like, I don't need to learn anything. I'm just trusting the process. And it's really neat when you're able to then see on the flip side, which very rarely happens. So that's such a great experience.
I mean, it might only be one of, like five I get my whole lifetime, right? But it is something for me to remind myself. We do have in time and place and a role to play for kids.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I don't share it often. It's like a little hidden gem I keep to myself, which maybe I shouldn't. I don't know.
I can edit it out.
No, I think I'm okay. I mean, I don't feel like I shared too much, but yeah, it's just, I think it's also that honoring of that relationship that we had, right? Like, I really want to honor the relationship I had with this client. But it is nice to hear because we do so much of trusting the process and we really don't know how things unfold, right? Like how things will turn out. But I think that goes back to what you shared earlier, Maggie, which is the deep belief we have in kids that we really do believe in their capacity to become the best versions of themselves.